Good evening, everyone, and apologies for my late arrival. Welcome to this meeting of Exmouth Town Council Planning Committee, to which you're summoned, on Thursday, the 14th of March 2024. Item number one, we have apologies for absence. Do we have any this evening?
Andrew Coleman has sent apologies.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any others.
Okay, thank you.
I think we've got a full compliment upon Andrew.
Yeah.
Cool. So we now move to public speaking. Welcome back. I told you we'd be here again, didn't I? I did say that, wouldn't I? So representations will be taken ahead of each discussion, so we will move that item forward so you can speak. We'll debate it, so you don't have to stay through the rest of it, unless you really want to. Members of the public wishing to make so you will make yourself known. So your representations may be up to 3 minutes, and given we've had lots of representations on this before, we'll try and stick to that if we could. Speakers must begin within their representation by stating their name and interest in the application and whether they are supporting or objecting to the application. Speakers must endeavour to avoid repeating themselves or earlier comments by others. And at my discretion, no, that's fine, you don't have to read that bit. Okay, so the first person we have down to speak for 22-19-10 full is the which is the Devoncourt Hotel application for the demolition of the existing Devoncourt building and L buildings to construct 51 open market and 15 affordable residential apartments and a new 65 bedroom hotel with access via the Mayor Road car park, associated car parking and landscaping works. The application we're hearing is for the amendments to the previous plans, which we will go into later in terms of what those amendments are. Just before we start, because I'll forget otherwise, does anybody have any declarations of interest for this one? Graham?
Yes, I'm a member of the Devoncourt Leisure Club.
Right, okay, thank you.
Anybody else?
Okay, that's cool. Thank you very much. So we will move to our first speaker. Julian Shaw. Thank you.
Thank you for letting me speak. My name is Julian Shaw, I live on Mayor Road, so I'm back onto the Devoncourt Hotel, and I am all checking.
Thank you.
So here we are again, wasting more time talking about a few more minor tweaks to the application, when yet again the applicants have chosen to ignore most of the planning advice and the numerous public objections already raised, all of which should still stand. The failure of the sewage system in Exmouth has been a regular event recently, particularly over the last few months, but it seems to have finally woken everyone up to the fact that the sewage system has not had enough investment over the years and is simply unable to cope with current volumes. It was quite a step for East Devon District Council to pass a vote of no confidence in Douglas Water, to which a spokesman of the water company said, "We are disappointed to hear about the motion passed by East Devon." Disappointed, I think, is a bit much. It should be more ashamed or embarrassed for East Devon to have to show that. The fact that Southwest Water indicated they plan to double the capacity of Mare Lane treatment works by 2028 is an admission that the current capacity is not enough. However, we know that Southwest Water plans cannot be relied upon. The Mare Lane works expansion is listed as concept only. They were supposed to build the new treatment works for Cranbrook, but this didn't happen, placing massive additional volume on an already failing system. With this in mind, it cannot make sense to approve any planning application until Southwest Water repair the current infrastructure, increase the capacity in Exmouth, and then prove that it can perform without breakdowns or spills for a significant period of time. I'd also like to bear in mind one more impact of this application. I'm trying to come up with new things other than the things I've said the last few times. On 1st of January 2024, Mayor Road car park was in chaos. Bank holiday visitors combined with a constant stream of sewage tankers accessing the pumping zone in Mayor Road car park was a health and safety disaster. The lorries were crossing over pedestrian walkways, driving very close to families, and they weren't able to follow the traffic direction guidance around the car park. So I reported it to the HSE, and this was also witnessed by councillors Arnott and Young from East Devon. If the Devon Court application was ever to go ahead, thousands of HGVs would be accessing the site through this car park during the demolition and construction process. We would also have the users of the new sports pitches using the car park, as well as the lovely tourists that we try to encourage to the town, plus the camper vans and the land train, and then on top of this, potentially more South West water tankers following any further sewage system failures in Exmouth. Merlin Road car park would be a very dangerous place, so I urge you to reject this application. Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll talk about South West water in a little bit, I think I'm right in saying that, again, like previously, no official approach has been made to E7 to use the car park. We'll leave that there for now, which is interesting because the application includes part of the car park. We'll now hear from Richard Stradling. Richard.
Thank you, Chair. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Richard Stradling. I live at 14A Douglas Avenue. That's the house immediately next door to Devon Court Hotel. And I oppose this application. This current application, I think, merely shows cosmetic changes to the previous application, which was, I understand, rejected. There are many reasons why this proposal should be rejected. In fact, Tara's latest submission sets out most of them, if not all, in a detailed and well-reasoned submission. You'll be pleased to hear I'm not going to go through that. I would like to focus this evening purely on the overdevelopment, the overlooking and overbearing nature of the proposals that they have on both my property and those of my neighbours along the rest of Douglas Avenue and indeed the Merlin Road. It's very difficult to explain in words how much of an impact that's going to have on the surrounding properties, mine in particular. And so I've taken the liberty of using a diagram to illustrate what we have, which I hope we've all got access to. The diagram's calculated based on the footprint and the elevations provided by the applicants in their in the planning application. And I think the key visuals are the two diagrams to the right. The first one shows a black mass, which is 14A Douglas Avenue, my house. The red line demonstrates the current imprint of the north block of Devon Court Hotel. The diagram below, again, the black mass of Douglas Avenue, the existing imprint of the Devon Court Hotel north block in red, and then in glorious grey and brown, the proposed elevation as viewed from my gardens, the other gardens, and indeed Mayor Road. Now, that in itself is quite imposing, and so I don't think I need to say anything. The only point I would add to that is that the first line of the proposed building is less than 3 metres from my boundary fence, and in total less than 5 metres. So you can imagine what a facade of that density is likely to provide. And so for those reasons, I object.
Thank you very much indeed. And finally, we have Michael Humphrey. Just a three, yeah.
Hopefully, Mr. Chair, there's a slide which will show you some numbers. My name is Michael Humphrey. I'm a retired associate of the Chartered Institute of Bankers. I own an adjacent property and I object to this latest revision, especially the response to consultee contributor comments document and in particular the viability report therein. Firstly, I would question ARA Architecture Limited's impartiality and appropriate qualifications in making this assessment. They are architects, not accountants. With limited time, I'll comment only on the 2022 figures. As per the slide, ARA claim that the hotel's operational profit of £64,000 is really a £40,000 loss. So what makes up this massive differential of £104,000? ARA confirm that the hotel operation does not have bank borrowing. The latest audited accounts filed at Companies House for Devonport Hotels Limited specify bank loans totalling £577,000 secured on various investment properties owned by the company. It is reasonable those bank loans would have cost £29,000 to service and may well have been funded by the directors, but these servicing costs belong with the investment activity and not against the hotel operation, and thus this adjustment is not valid. Oh, and they forgot to mention the investment activity earned the directors £24,000, largely offsetting the £29,000. ARA suggests a notional adjustment in management salaries of £52,000. There is, I understand, an experienced manager and team in place at the hotel, and thus it is hard to follow that the directors would need a hypothetical salary of £70,000, less the £18,000 they do pay themselves. ARA claimed that £23,000 worth of small business rate relief needs to be taken away from the hotel's operating profit, as it's only payable on a temporary basis. But this support was forthcoming because of the extraordinary trading circumstances and mitigates the hotel's restricted performance at the time. It is a fact and can't just be written out. In summary, the adjustments totalling £104,000 should be ignored. The operating profits should stand unamended. Every version of these continuing submissions in all aspects lacks credibility, and I trust that all those involved with the planning process will also see that this latest revision has again ignored the constructive advice given previously and should be turned aside.
Thank you very much. Apologies for the sunglasses, I've borrowed my sunglasses. Thank you very much. Can I just ask, have you submitted that in the way that you've explained it to us 2 weeks then?
Yes. Okay, that's cool.
Thank
probably
you.
In more detail.
Yeah. But you need to keep it simple for us, long. So. No thanks.
Just me.
Just me then. Okay. Right, so we will now go to that application. Thank you all very much for your words. So at this point, well, I'll just go through the details first. So planning application 22-1910-M4, Devonport Hotel. Demolition of the existing Devonport building, now building, the construction of 51 open market and 15 affordable residential apartments, and a new 65-bedroom hotel with access via the May Road car park, associated car parking and landscaping works, and the amended plans for consultation, which is what we're focusing on today. So I'm going to get Lisa in a minute to look at what we objected on last time, and then I'll ask Lisa again to consider what the differences are and what these amendments have looked at, because ultimately that's what we have to focus this on. And we need to see how much they've mitigated against the things in the objection in the previous application. So, actually, I can read it here, can't I? So, the town council in November to the previous amendments, the objection was sustained. The amended plans did not mitigate any of the previous concerns raised in September 22. The proposal would still be visibly intrusive and out of keeping from the southern aspect. It was noted that the urban designer felt that the lower part of the site was not suited to large-scale development. Its design and appearance is out of keeping and harmful to its sensitive setting, and therefore the proposal is considered to still be contrary to policy EN1 of the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, where development is only supported if it would not harm the amenity and environmental qualities within which it is located. The scale and density of the development was considered to be unacceptable and will have an overbearing impact on adjacent properties on Mere Road. Concerns were raised about the design of the hotel. The problems of scale and massing had not been addressed with serious design failures, and it was therefore considered that the proposal did not meet the policy requirement for EB1 of the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, which states that development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design. The proposal did not mitigate the loss of the hotel and the associated facilities, and members questioned the viability issues cited. The application did not comply with local policy EE3 of the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, nor E18 of the East Devon Local Plan. Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan policy CF1 does not support the reduction of health and wellbeing facilities, and the applicant's provision of a small gym did not mitigate against the loss of the existing facilities. Concerns remained about exacerbating sewage capacity and management of surface water runoff. The application should comply with policies EN5 and EN6 of the neighbourhood plan. Concerns also raised regarding the sustainability of the development with regards to the amount of embodied carbon emitted and the harm to the biodiversity of the landscape. Members further expressed their disappointment that the applicant had not engaged further with the District Council's parking manager since an initial inquiry. So, Natural England have said that their previous advice still stands. The policy, the architectural liaison officer says that he has nothing further to add to his previous response.
That's which the police architectural.
The police.
Yes.
The police architectural liaison officer, rather than the policy. Yeah. Mm. Has nothing further to add to his previous response. And environmental health, you only look at a very specific part of this, have recommended approval with conditions. There have been, to all of the plans, in total, two representations of support and 171 representations against, basically all saying in one way or another that the amended plans do not mitigate the previous concerns raised. I've read what all of the policies that this is affected by. I've read them, so I don't need to list them all again. First of all, South West Water. We've had many discussions about South West Water and the sewage situation here. At this point in time, we're not able to reject an application on the grounds that the sewage system can't take it. We had a big long chat about this last time, I think, for those of us who were here. We all want to, but by law, if they say they can accept a connection, at this point in time, we have to take that as read. That's not to say I think that's going to be crucial with this application, personally, but but it is something we have to bear in mind. And I think East Devon doing what they did and declaring their no confidence in South West Water was the first step to changing that. But as things stand, we have to accept that they can take a connection, which we all know different, but hey. And secondly, we just need to focus on what the amendments are, because we have, given that the application hasn't altered a great deal, we need to focus on what those amendments are and how they mitigate against the last one. So what, Lisa, could you tell us what's different in this application?
Not a lot, to be honest with you. So I don't think your position as a committee is going to change very much. But basically, the elevations of the south block, there's been a change to one window. Mm. That is the change in terms of the elevations, mm. which we can show you.
Why isn't it showing? It's being a bit funny. Sorry, my computer's being a bit peculiar, to say the least. Right, oh, it's behaving, okay. So, this is the south block here, isn't it, Lisa? And if I, this is the window that they've changed, that one window. So before, it was like this, and now it's like that. And that's all we can see.
So that is the amendment that they've made to the elevation, which is what's prompted the amended plans. And the other thing that they've provided are some sub schemes in terms of the attenuation tank, which possibly would address some of the concerns that were raised around surface water runoff. Wouldn't necessarily address the concerns about sewage. But in respect of, you know, all the other concerns that you raised when you cited objection last time, I don't think that you'll feel that the change of one window has mitigated any of those concerns.
You mean
personally.
You mean a window hasn't changed concerns about overlooking and massing?
No, I don't think so.
It's a lovely window, Lisa.
There you go. That is the amendment, basically. That and the addition of the SUD scheme.
Okay, which, you know, to be fair, was one of the things, one of the many issues that were brought up last time. So, very much, we could have a very long debate about this, but we'll see. Sorry about the sunglasses. Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I think you're all a debt of gratitude to the people who are objecting to this application for their thoroughness in providing personally proper reasons for objections. I think we should thank them for that. Nothing's changed except we now have an attenuation tank and a new window. The attenuation tank is actually next to a playground, which is a bit scary, to put it mildly. I'm aware of how tempted attenuation tanks work. I had one in my ward when I was in St. Albans, and they do take water at some point, which is why they're there. So to have a playground next to it, alright, they make the fence and walk around it, but knowing children, they will climb that fence quite happily, quite readily. So I have been through the neighbourhood plan. I can actually find nothing to say why we have to object to that. But I'm raising it because it causes me issues on health and safety.
Cool.
I am going to vote like I did last time, objection.
Thank you very much. Councillor Mike Rosser.
I had a look at TripAdvisor, anyone? guess which hotel is second in the list of hotels to rate?
Is it the Devonport?
It might be the Devonport. It is the Devonport. Mm-hmm. And they want to knock it down and say it's not viable. I think it's very disappointing. It's very disappointing that the advice to not build substantially from the lower part of the site has been completely ignored. It's disappointing that the recommendation from the urban planner in 2022 that the buildings facing Douglas Avenue did not match the area that has been ignored. It's exactly the same elevation as was submitted in 2022. So here we are again. I second the objection.
Thank you very much indeed. Councillor Graham DC.
Thank you, Chair. There's very little to add to what all my colleagues have said. I empathise with Mr. Stanley, 14A, the overbearing nature of the building is just totally unacceptable. It really does impact negatively on his property. But that isn't this amendment, that's the first thing. But I do sympathise and empathise with Mr. Stanley on that. I agree also Mr. Humphreys is when we talk about the financial viability, that's where this should fall at the first hurdle as far as I'm concerned, because one of the conditions is that it should be sort of marketed as a growing concern, which I think we're all satisfied it hasn't been, and Mr. Humphreys has proved that. And yes, I share the grounds for objection that my colleagues and members of the public have raised, so I am very happy to object to this.
Does anybody else have any comments at all? Can I just ask, Lisa, how many times have we had a small amendment now since the first plans were submitted? Is this the fourth or the fifth time?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Is there, and Ron, you might know this, is there a...
I think this is the fourth.
This is the fourth. Is there a point at which East Devon can go, this is ridiculous? Because this is a waste of time, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't get what they're trying to do with this.
Yeah, and last time I found it quite funny, now I'm finding it quite exasperating because we're all there talking about it again. I don't know. Because they've moved on tiny steps from where we started. It's no different. Anyway. Anyway, on that note, oh, David.
I think the example you should be using is McCartney and Stone. Were they for exactly the same procedure, minor changes to the overall plans, kept on coming back, kept on getting knocked down back by East Devon, kept knocked back by the planning inspectors, until eventually they gave up. This is what they're going to try and do with this one, it's fairly obvious.
I certainly hope not, but I suspect that may be, there may be something in there. Okay, so we have a proposal and a seconder for objection on all of the grounds that we have, and yeah.
Objection sustained.
Objection sustained, basically, because the plans are the same. So all those in favour of objection, thank you very, very much indeed. Cheers. So we have objected to that. In a surprise move. Okay, if you wish to... if you wish to leave me, and all you can say, that's me, we'll just pause the meeting for a second. Thank you all for coming again. I don't want to say, I'll see you again soon, but I suspect I will. Okay, so we go back to item number two on the agenda, minutes of the meeting held on the 26th of February. Does anybody have any comments on those? Councillor Tim Dunbar.
I propose approval.
Would anybody like to second that approval? Thank you very much, Councillor DC. All those in favour of approving the previous set of minutes, thank you very much. Does anybody have any declarations for any of the other applications tonight at all? If you spot any, just let me know. Item number four is urgent business. I don't think there is any. Item number five, tree and advertising consent applications. We don't have any change. Planning applications there now.
One that was not on the agenda, it seems to have got lost in the paperwork. I did receive it on my council, or East Devon Island, and it's a tree application for 15 Cranford
Avenue.
Avenue.
Yeah, I've contacted East Devon District Council about that and they haven't got back to me, so I don't have an answer on that one at the moment. But so is that the one you were talking about, the last meeting where we were waiting for the delegated report?
No, he said it's on his...
It's a new one.
Yeah, so because we have delegated authority to determine tree applications, we're not allowed to put them on the agenda for determination until we've allowed the statutory consultation period to be completed. Oh. So unlike planning applications, where we're part of that consultee process and we need to make sure that we comment within the 23-day deadline, with trees, we can't comment until that deadline's been reached. because we might disenfranchise someone who wants to comment on it.
Oh, so
because we determine them under delegated authority, and it's the same with advertising consents. So the time scales are somewhat different for trees and advertising consents versus planning applications.
I've learned something new, but that makes perfect sense. Probably should have known that.
So can I ask a question, please, Chair, on that?
You may.
Does that mean that Andrew and myself, as district councillors, if we have commented in our Roberts district, then do we have to declare that as an interest and not comment it?
You probably should do.
I think what's happened in the past is you can declare an interest, but. I think you always, I don't know if you need to say it, but you reserve your rights.
You need to caveat your comments, because if you're then part of the determining committee, you could be seen to have been, predetermined it.
Or maybe with three applications and advertising applications, it's okay to not comment. I don't comment on many at all, because we're going to discuss it here, and I just think it's a little bit.
So,
because in relation to that one, of course, we've discussed the whole thing before and had a lot of ongoing stuff about it.
Yeah.
Right, so Brixington, first of all, application 240409 full, Marley House, High Marley Road. The proposals are a detached oak framed garage with home office storage above. The contaminated land officer says that they would recommend conditional approval. South West Water says the applicants to contact them if they're unable to comply with the requirement for asset protection and surface water runoff. East End Trees recommend conditional approval to ensure the retained trees are afforded protection during construction. So this pertains to Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EN1, with proposals for the proposals outside the built-up area boundary will only be permitted where they're in accordance with specific policy within the Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan, so development will only be permitted where it will not harm the distinctive landscape, amenity, environmental qualities in which it is located. And EB2, buildings shall, I'm trying to get the exact wording, I still haven't got it in my head. New development should be mindful of surrounding building styles and ensure a high level of design. I will remember one day. Okay, so, Councillor Nicholas Terry.
You've taken the words right out of my mouth. However, I think we should attach that they're not permitted to live. Can't use it as an annex because they've been refused that before. And also, the contamination officer wants a risk assessment plus a load of other conditions. South West Water sent them a map of location of pipes. Then they've got conditions attached. And the EDDC tree officers, I couldn't see anywhere where they agreed that the dead T8 tree needed to come down. So they need to get permission from the EDC tree officer.
But you are recommending
conditional approval.
Subject to all of those conditions.
Subject to all the conditions that the each of them.
That's fair. Does anybody have a further comment at all? Is anybody willing to
consider?
Okay, thank you, Mike. Okay, so with that long list of conditions that this has been placed, we're proposing a seconder for approval. All those in favour? Thank you very much. We now move to planning application 240468 full, 12 Arthur's Close. Proposal for proposed loft conversion and addition of cladding. We have no comments from such consultees and no representations. Exmouth Neighbourhood Plan Policy EB2. I'm not going to try and say it again. Councillor Terry Nicholls again.
Right. I went up and had a look at exactly where it was located. It's right at the end of the cul-de-sac. It's only about 15 houses. And one side of the road already, they're all bungalows for the most part. I think there's only one actual house. And the semis, one side of the road has all of the semis with
dormers.
Yeah.
They're two-storey, aren't they? The houses on one side of the road are two-storey with dormers at the front. And on the other side of the road, they're bungalows, aren't they? Single-storey bungalows with no dormers. Is that right?
Yeah, this one is right at the end, but I can't see how we can refuse.
No, we had a discussion earlier around the fact that, you know, technically, if you were just to look at that side of the street that had the bungalows, then allowing them to put a dormer on a semi-detached bungalow is potentially going to interrupt the street scene. But when you've got two-storey houses on the other side of the road with dormers, I don't know, you know, it's that street scene.
I think they're trying to make them look as if they had dormers at some point afterwards or halfway through the build. That's what it looks like, because you've got a whole row of identical, except for the fact one lot have dormers.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't really think.
Yeah,
okay. The only thing is,
we'll just pull it up. We'll just pull it up on Google Maps for you, so you can have a look.
It doesn't say what they're going to use for cladding.
It's that cedral cladding, but I don't think they've specified the colour, have they?
Mm. I don't know what number is it.
12, isn't it?
12.
Is it on the front of the door?
Mm.
Or both?
So if I go down the end here. So it's this property here.
Yeah.
But these have been built, you know, these are houses.
They are two-storey houses on the left-hand side.
With a dormer design.
And they've been built like that. And on the other side of the road, they are single-storey bungalows. Mm. And none of them have dormers on the front. So we were discussing earlier what that, you know, the how East Devon would view that in terms of
there's a dormer on the back.
It being in keeping. Dormers on the front are restricted when properties are terraced. If the property is over a certain age. But in younger properties, and these are younger properties, then it's not normally a consideration. But on older properties, Victorian properties, for example, if you had a terrace of three, you wouldn't be allowed to put a dormer on the front.
Yeah, but that picture, in any case, is quite old, because the one that's next door to it, or attached to it, because it's number 14, and they've got
They've got solar panels on this one here.
Yeah.
And this one's got
Velux windows.
Velux. And this one wants
in the roof, aren't they?
Yeah, Velux windows.
Mm. Yeah. Mike.
Can I propose the protection? I think the kiddies and totally have to keep it.
What were you going to say, Terry? Were you going to propose?
I was
going to
say, so long as it fits in with the rest of them.
Okay, so we'll go with
I don't see how we can stop it, really.
So.
And why?
On the argument of the dormer,
as long as the dormer doesn't take over.
The argument would be that it doesn't fit in with the street scene on that side of the road. But see, that's the thing, because of what was on the other side of the road.
It's right at the bottom of the cul-de-sac.
So we'll go with the person from the ward, but obviously then that'll just turn the question around running for you. Is anybody willing to second Cherry's No objection. Okay, Councillor David Paul.
Thank you.
Does anybody else have any comments at all? So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? So all those against and abstentions. Okay, thank you. So that is no objection. Okay, so we now move to Halston. Planning application 240483 full, 188 Hullam Road, construction of a single storey side extension and front covered porch. No comments from statutory consultees and no representations. Again, this is excellent for neighbourhood planning policy EB2. Councillor Tindall Dumper.
Thank you, Chair. I had a look at the good look at the plans and the associated documentation, and I think if I remember rightly, when the substantial conversion of the house came up a few years ago and it went from a rather traditional house to a more modern styling with the cladding, etc., I seem to remember that whether we objected to it generally or it was just myself who objected, but I didn't like the idea. However, now it is established there, then I think the extensions, although, you know, I mean, it says it's a porch, but frankly the artist's impression of it is a lot more than just a porch. But it seems to me to be in keeping with what is there now. And as far as I'm concerned, I have no objection within the limits of what it is. So no objection.
Thank you, Tim. Councillor Andrew Thorpe.
Yeah, second that. I've got no objection. Because the architect has hopefully given a 3D elevation.
Yeah.
It looks quite good from that.
Yeah, can I add on that then that I think the way the architect has done it, it's obviously a national firm of architects, I think they've produced a very good set of documents, and it would be nice if others did the same. But I bet they've charged a bit.
Thank you very much. So a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. So we now move to Lillam, planning application 240266 full, 5 Dunsford Close, the construction of a rear single storey extension and new front porch. South West Water have said that they wish, if they want the applicant to contact them if they're unable to comply with requirements for surface water runoff. There are no representations. This is excellent neighbourhood planning policy EB2. Councillor Graham DC.
Thank you, Chair. Basically, I have no objections. I think the proposals they're not overbearing in any way at all. I don't think they overshadow adjacent properties or anything like that. So I couldn't see any reason at all to object to this.
Thank you very much, Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree with that. I have no objection either.
Thank you, Councillor Mike Rosser.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Okay, planning application 240339 full, 18 Albion Hill. This is for a first floor balcony with external staircase. We have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Planning Policy EB2 again. Councillor David Paul.
Thank you, Chair. I did worry about the external staircase, but thinking it is Albion Hill, so I have to agree with this.
Thank you, Councillor Mike Crosser.
Yeah, I was wondering why there wasn't the staircase really, because there's a door accessing the balcony. Seems a bit strange. But no objection. But there's a group of trees between the balcony and the view across the estuary. I think maybe they'll need protecting.
In terms of them wanting to cut them down so they can see them.
Yeah. Just.
That's something we can add, isn't it? Just as a note, move that tree. Alert the tree officer. Okay, no, it's got thanks for mentioning that. Councillor Graham DC.
Yeah, I agree with my colleagues. Same observation, really. The trees are bang up against the balcony proposal. There are slight views going back up the estuary. And that seems to overlook the houses as well, but
yeah,
had a look earlier. But the trees are good. So,
I'm just wondering, I mean, would there be a possibility they're thinking of turning into a flat or something? No. Crazy, isn't it? It just seems weird about that. It's like, snow trees, or why?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
speculation.
Thank you very much. So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection, but noting the fact that we'd like the trees to be sort of mentioned in any approval that's granted in terms of their protection. All those in favour of no objection, thank you very much. And then we have 29240372 29 Cranford Avenue. Proposed extensions, alterations and a park garage conversion. We have East Devon Trees have said they have no arboricultural concerns. There are no representations, and again this is the neighbourhood plan for excellent neighbourhood plan policy EB2. Councillor Mike Rosser. Okay.
No concerns with this one, so a very small extension.
Councillor Graham DC.
Yes, I agree. It's within the footprint of an existing building, essentially. Yeah. So I had no problems with this one, so no objection.
And Councillor David Paul, are you going to be controversial to go against?
No objection.
Thank you very much indeed. So a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. Paul David, this one is the mic. Cheers. We won't be the Devon Court Hotel again. If you want to. Why do it now? We'll do it again in 6 months. So. Okay, I think this is the last one for. Planning application 240382 variation. Eldin House, Fairfield Road. The proposal is for the variation of condition 2 on the approved plans of the conversion and refurbishment of Eldin House into 4 self-contained flats, partial demolition of a potting shed and greenhouse and extensions to create a dwelling to allow the change to a ground floor layout. So these plans have already been passed and they want to change one of the conditions so that they can change the layout of the ground floor. Who would like to go first? Okay. At which point are you going? Yeah. You're going DC?
I'm looking at it. I personally didn't have a problem. Other than, I could say no objection, really, subject to the conservation officer's report, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I can't see any reason why that couldn't be allowed. So no objection.
Okay, Councillor David Paul.
I would agree, no objection.
And Mike Reed.
Yeah.
Okay. So subject to conservation and listed building officers being okay with it, we have a proposal and seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Excellent, that's unanimous, thank you. So now we are in Town Ward, planning application 220320204, 27 Real Grove, the replacement of an existing single glazed timber conservatory with new single storey side extension and installation of a new timber fence along the boundary. These are, I'll do this of our own actually, so the Town Council in March, at the start of March, very recently, had no objection.
No, March 23, sorry.
Ah, I got it. I was going to say, this time last year, the Town Council had no objection, though we were concerned that the replacement fence would create a fortress effect, because it was quite tall, So these amended plans reduce the fence height and correct the measurement errors on the original plans. So we've had no representations against this excellent neighbourhood planning policy EB2. The single story side extension is roughly the same size as the thing, so, and that's all been, we were fine with that last time. And actually the fact they reduced the fence height mitigates the concerns that we had, even though it was passed last time. So I would like to propose no objection. Would anybody second me? Thanks, Dave. We have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. So now we're going to William. William Riley. Planning application 240478 full. One Moorfield Close. Revisions to the proposed first floor side extension, single story front extension, and replacement porch to front, which were originally approved under 22261 we have no comments from statutory consultees and no representations. This is Exmouth Neighbourhood Planning Policy EB2. Councillor Henry Woodward.
Thank you, Chair. So this debate last night, managed to look at the problem we were this morning. If I'm honest, I can't see what the difference is between the original approval.
Yeah.
And I would have been bringing Ron to that and work, but Tim's very kindly looked at it as well, and both of us really don't see any reasons for objections, so I propose to approve it.
Okay. You'd like to second that. That's cool. Thank you very much for your help there. So we have a proposer and a seconder for no objection. All those in favour? Thank you very much. That is unanimous. So we move to other items. We don't need to comment on this one. It's just a notification. We can comment if we want. So it's notification of a new time-limited premises licence application received for Withwick and Riley Rugby Club. It is for their Withy Stock event, which is kind of like a one-day festival in July. We don't have to comment if we don't want to. I mean, they have a license already for the clubhouse. This is just to allow them to serve alcoholic refreshment on the field. Councillor Tindalcombe.
Can I just comment? And I don't really know whether, I assume a Withy Stock event has happened before in previous years, and what the situation is, because part of this application is about playing music outside, and of course it's a very residential area around there. Yeah. So I mean, it's going on, I think, till 2300 or something. So, you know, I was just wondering about that being an issue.
We can certainly ask that question. This is weird because we might see that from the other side at some point, as members of the licensing committee.
Sure.
And that would fall under the prevention of public nuisance, certainly. So we can ask that. Maybe just comment about there being sufficient. What will the volume levels be? And ask the environmental health comment, which they probably will anyway, I would hope, but...
It was held last year, wasn't it?
It was.
That's a really good event.
Okay, cool.
Really good. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, they're usually pretty good, but it is something we have to... And they know that getting a licence for it the following year depends on them doing what they should 1 year, so... And I don't think we heard anything after last year, so that's one. Okay, has anybody else got anything to say about that? No, so we will now, notification of the street trading application, Exmouth Beach Rugby. So this is in the 25th and 26th of May, from 10 in the morning to 11 at night. The application is for 5 trading units, which will include food and drink stalls on the beach. One bar will be inside a marquee, as shown on the map, which I think we received by email. The applicant has already applied for and been granted a licence for the sale of alcohol. The event is a tag rugby tournament held on Exmouth Beach. During the day, various tournaments will be taking place, and during the evening there will be live entertainment. The aim is to provide a fun-packed weekend full of sporting and live music entertainment with refreshments and food offerings available throughout. The applicant has noted on their application all the litter will be monitored. We use an approved waste management company to remove and recycle waste. They'll inspect the site and leave it as they found it, and they hope to use local food traders, and we'll be encouraging the plastic consumables are not used by them. Does anybody have any comments at all?
Cool.
I mean, I think there was some controversy last year about the alcohol licence, or not controversy, some questions about the alcohol licence being granted because it's on the beach and alcohol and sea and beverage all together. But I think they were pretty good at dealing with that. And this year's licence, again, will be based on how well they did before. Okay, so now we have some items for information. This is an appeal by the Queen's Drive Community Interest Company, the construction of a single-storey flexible office and community hub building, an extension to existing bin store at site, or basically to provide new WC facilities. They appealed against rejection by the District Council, and that appeal has been granted. So they now have planning permission to do that. Clist Honiton have submitted their neighbourhood plan to East End District Council. We are able to comment on Clist Honiton's neighbourhood plan if we so desire. We've all read it, no?
Yes, it's really good.
Cool. Excellent.
I wonder if, Chair, I can answer, because Lisa and I had a discussion some while ago about Clist Honiton's neighbourhood plan and the fact that they were going to submit a housing needs assessment. And they had managed to do something there, and we wondered at the time whether it had been approved or not, but clearly it hasn't. So this is,
It's absolutely interesting to see if it does. Without question. We have another application for a street trading application. This is for Exmouth Gate to Plate. They've had a similar thing in Honiton, haven't they?
I think you should probably refrain from commenting on this because this has been through the Festival Events Working Party. And there is a sort of a tacit agreement that if it's given approval this year, that the Town Council would modestly financially support something similar next year. So East Devon are supporting it this year, but with the intention of trying to get something off the ground on a regular basis like they do for Honiton. There is an assumption that the Town Council will get involved in future, so it's probably wise if we don't comment.
That's fine. Absolutely fine. Everybody okay with that? Cool. And now finally we have planning decisions. 10 East Drive, we objected. The Devon gave approval. 164 Exeter Road, we objected. And East Devon gave conditional approval. And for the Cranford Club, we had no objection and they refused it.
We had quite a debate on that.
We did,
Because of the viability of the business and the potential loss of resources.
So although we had no objection, what we said was we had no objection in principle, but we did raise concerns about the loss of facilities and said that we thought it should be conditioned such that equivalent facilities were provided off-site. So that was a difficult one because...
We came to as a decision we didn't want to come to.
But
if you read the Sport England comments, it's the one I suspect swayed it. They were very strongly against the loss of facility without replacement. And that's a very strong objection from them. But I know that if you think Devon Court is bad, don't hold your breath for this one.
It's very interesting just the way that, you know, they've obviously entered into an agreement with the developer before the permission's been established.
Okay.
Anyway, that's fine.
Sorry, bear that in mind. Thank you all very much for attending and for your help this evening. And I bring this meeting to a close.